are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, I'm talking about Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. I tell you who else got some good measure. That's two of our brethren who are in the background helping with stuff related to this show all the time. And I value their opinions, so every once in a while we just bring them out into the public eye. And you know who I'm talking about. Butters and Lee are joining us right now, so let me just do the roll call real quick. Lee from Huntsville, are you on the line right now?
I sure am.
Yay. We're glad you're here. And then also on the line with us would be the illustrious Butters. Butterman, are you there?
Yes, sir. What's going on?
Wow, coming in smooth and clear. Okay, so I pronounce it's time for Butters and Lee. All right, here we go. You know the deal. I throw out questions. Y'all see what you got and just chime in as best you can. So here's my first one. This is I almost feel like this is like a metaphor for the entire Biden administration. But with all the situation going on in Gaza and Israel just pounding Hamas right now and turning parts of Gaza into a parking lot, the President Biden, at his State of the Union address, he announced he was going to go ahead and, you know, even though we were going to, you know, continue to be allies with Israel and provide them with weaponry and things that they need. Oh, by the way, we're also going to be building a $320 million floating pier. And we've had U.S. service members over there helping build this floating pier off the coast of Gaza. Two nights ago, in bad weather, that $320 million pier just broke apart. Parts of it sunk. Two U.S. vessels that were tied there to or moored nearby ran aground. And the folks had to be basically not rescued per se, but retrieved. Here's my question for you. Oh, by the way, the pier has also been mortared. And, oh, by the way, the aid is not getting through to the people it's designed for because, you know, it's Gaza. So give me your comments. And do we even need to continue this operation? I'm going to go with Butters first. Your thoughts on this, my dude.
Oh, man. Can we do a whole show on this tomorrow?
We might need to.
So my first thought as a Navy operational planner is this is awesome. This is great because we're getting back to doing some crazy stuff that we haven't done in a long time, at least to my knowledge. And hopefully we're learning some good lessons for the Pacific Theater. Yeah, this is really odd. I don't really, maybe it is simply that they're doing it for payment to somebody or to validate a TTP or a tactics and procedure for doing this kind of stuff. But amphibious work ain't easy.
No,
I'm far from an expert, but I did sleep on an aircraft carrier a few times, so. Well, yeah, I mean, it just seems I'd be really curious to hear what were all the operational options that they provided up the chain to solve this problem, because right. This seems like a really bad one.
Let me ask you this real quick before I go to Lee. So $320 million for the build, no telling what it's going to cost for the recovery. If you were the operational planner, if you were the admiral with the stars on your shoulder, would you authorize a rebuild at this point?
I'd definitely be strongly encouraging us to find a much simpler, safer way to do this.
Yeah.
That's
all right. All right, Lee, weigh in. What are you thinking?
I think it's a boondoggle. I think this makes us look awful. Like, we can't build this. We're the biggest superpower in the world, I guess. And here's, we can't build a dadgum floating pier. I recognize that you know, there's weather and all that. Certainly that should have been something that was taken into consideration when it was built. But who's mortaring it? Hamas?
Hamas was mortaring it. I mean, it was.
So they're mortaring a pier where is just being used for delivering aid.
Aid, which is not really being delivered, because I think 15 trucks, four got through recently.
And where'd the rest go? To Hamas?
They were raided en route, and the crowds stormed the trucks on the streets.
Right. I think what we're looking at here is, because I know we were parachuting it in before.
Yeah.
And a couple of people like literally got squished under the pallets, and I guess that wasn't a look that they could, you know, keep going forward with. But this is kind of like when you send aid to Africa. You know that 90% of it isn't making it where it needs to go. You're feeding the soldiers. You're not feeding the people. And especially, I'm having a hard time understanding Hamas mortaring a dock that's feeding their own people. When are the Palestinian people, and I think they already know this, but going to wake up and understand that Hamas is their biggest enemy, not Israel?
Oh, no doubt. And, you know, and by the way, I said earlier, I think the whole thing is like a metaphor of the Biden administration. They're going to do great things. They're going to build all this great infrastructure, and then it breaks up. But I saw the Babylon Bee. Charlene sent it to me a little while ago. The Babylon Bee just put out a thing that said, in order to save time, Biden's going to throw the next $320 million right into the ocean. And just throw it in the ocean. And that's where this is. This was a complete virtue signal, and it came at $320 million of taxpayer money. And, by the way, U.S. service members put at risk. Just saying.
Well, I will say, if they want to do this right and I was the admiral, I'd say give me the Expeditionary Strike Group and let the Marines and our amphibious capabilities do what they're trained to do. And they do this right. That's why I'm really kind of curious how the heck this came. Well, I'm not really that curious. They're pretty incompetent. So.
I think too, by the way, if you look back at history, the Battle of Mogadishu, Black Hawk Down and all that, this scenario is that. So what that turned into was aid to, you know, Somalis that was not getting through because the warlords were taken over. And then so we had to put an expeditionary force on the ground to then safeguard the aid. And then, oh, by the way, mission creep set in and we began to try and do raids to go and capture bad guys. And next thing you know, we got a full conflict there in the middle of an international war zone that we're really not at war, but yet we're taking part and lots of troops died. And that's one of my concerns. All right. Next question. Let's lighten up a little bit. Sort of. Maybe not. All right. Next month is Pride Month. It's rainbow season for all those who have stolen the rainbow and want to use it for other uses. All right, so next month's Pride Month. I guess my question is why? Why do they have to have a whole month? Is this necessary? And then in the middle of all that, what should Christians and or conservatives say or think or do about the fact that so much of the nation is going to start talking about Pride Month? Lee, you're first this time.
I absolutely do not need a month to celebrate what? The fact that you sleep with the same sex? You want to celebrate that for a month? We don't celebrate the men who and women who fought and died for us, but like a long weekend. Give me a break. I think that you're talking about celebrating the most basic nature of someone like that. It's not necessary, and it's completely ridiculous. But what it is it's a month in order to basically shove this stuff down everyone's throat. And I'm not interested. I'll tell you that a friend of mine calls it Humility Month because that's the opposite of Pride. And had a shirt made up about Humility Month. And that's what I've been taken to calling it, Humility Month, because Pride's what, you know, got Satan kicked out of heaven. So I don't think it's something but I think those words were chosen purposefully, right?
Yeah.
And, because I don't understand it. I don't understand the need for parades. I don't understand any of that. It makes no sense to me. Just live your life like everyone else.
Yeah, and okay, you know what? Before I say anything more, Butters, you weigh in. Pride Month, is it necessary? What should we do about it?
Yeah, I mean, I think like all the months, I mean, all the months have just kind of gotten out of control. And even some of the random other holidays about random stuff. It seems overkill, and it's definitely going to be rolled out. And, you know, things like military folks participating in, you know, like I think we talked about that last week, or the week before, but, you know, it's what can Christians, what can conservatives do? I think just remain calm, go about your life, not act the fool, you know, be humble in the midst of it, and maybe use it as an opportunity to talk to obviously our kids at, you know, at school which I guess they're not anymore. But, you know, explain your kids what you actually believe and why, and, you know, all those kind of things. I don't know. It's a,
oh, it's a, it's ooh. Also, by the way, it's a merchandising spectacle.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's going to be rainbow T-shirts, and Target's going to have the, well, Target's actually scaling back, but Walmart's even doing a pride display, selling special pride stuff. And but I agree with you. I think on the one hand, Christians, conservatives, stay calm. I mean, let's don't jump in there and make a scene that's not necessary. But I will say this. Last year, I was really proud of the fact that conservative America looked at Target and said, by God, that's enough. That's enough of that. And I think that one was necessary. When they've got transgender, they got a Satanist who designs transgender swimwear for children and puts it on display in Target. That was enough. And I think there's going to be times we have to call it out. Other times, you know, listen, go live your life. Quit shoving it in all our faces. And if you got it, do you have to have a whole month? You really don't. But you grabbed it and you ran with it the same way you grabbed our rainbow and ran with it. So there's that.
I mean, most of us have jobs and things to do. We don't have time for all this.
That is true. Like, yes, we're actually trying to be productive in society. All right. I'll tell you what, round one, that went by fast. All right. So round one, Butters and Lee, we're going to take a break right now. We'll come right back. This is where we flip the script and I wait to find out what questions they have for me and to see if I can spontaneously answer them. Every once in a while, they throw me for a loop. I'll do the best I can. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower with Butters and Lee. Hey, you guys, by the way, I got to tell you, breaking news. It just came out that the verdict has been reached in the Trump trial. The jury is already done and they've barely deliberated. So, usually that means a quick verdict in favor of the defense, but we'll wait and see. So everybody in the audience, just understand that I'll let you know as soon as we know. But whew, that's quick. Let me jump right over there to Butters and Lee. Lee, you first. What question do you have for moi?
And I would not land on the side of quick verdict for the defense. Not in this case.
You don't think so? Huh?
I do not. But we'll see. We'll see. They could surprise us. So my question is, I don't know if y'all have seen this video, it's been floating around, but I've watched it many times in order to laugh really hard. I don't know if you've seen it though. This courtroom scene, but the guy's zooming in. I don't know why they're still doing Zoom in Detroit. But he's got a suspended license. Have you seen this?
Oh, I saw it this morning.
While he's driving.
I did.
And it's the best. I suggest everyone look this up if they haven't seen it. I laugh and laugh. Because how dumb do you have to be, right? So my question is, what's the funniest thing like that you've ever seen in a courtroom?
The funniest thing like I've ever seen in a courtroom? Well, I've seen a few.
I'm catching you off guard.
You're catching me way off guard. So I've got a few. Like there was one time when somebody thought they really had a thing going on. And they had they went and said, and the will says this, and I turned around, and it wasn't even a case about somebody's will, and I turned around and they had my client's will. They had stole it from her house and then thought they'd use it as evidence, and I turned around in the middle of the trial and I didn't even say objection. I just said stop, and the judge, everybody's looked at me, and I said, I want to know what in God's name you're doing with a copy of my client's will. And the judge goes, so do I. I mean, that trial flipped right there. I mean, I had it in the bag already, but man, I tell you what, we locked it down right there. And I had people that were about to go to jail. The other funniest one I think I ever had in a courtroom was when I had this guy who was a drug user, abuser, convicted felon, who maybe had murdered his wife. And I've got him on the stand, and he's just talking about how clean as a whistle he is. He'd never done anything wrong. And I started showing him all his arrest records. And I said, well, as long as you're going to say that, I guess I have a right to introduce this. How about this one? And there was one where he'd been arrested at Walmart. And the extra report literally says, Tammy, the Walmart security guard, held him down on the floor waiting for the police to arrive. And I looked at him and I said, how big an old girl was Tammy? And he goes, what do you mean? I said, you let a girl hold you down on the floor for how long? And he got so mad, I thought he was going to spit up. But anyway, those are some of my fun moments in a courtroom. So there, I wish I'd had somebody trying to, you know, zoom in while they were driving about their suspended license. That would have been a hoot.
It's too bad Trump couldn't zoom in.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, man, what you got for me there, Butters?
Well, so speaking of driving and cell phone usage, I happened upon the 1819 article on the new hands-free law for Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
That takes effect on June 1st.
Oh, yeah.
So am I going to be allowed to look at my map on my phone, or what's going to happen with this? I mean, I'm all about safety. Don't get me wrong, but, you know, is this going to get abused? Is this just going to get ignored? What do we need to know as Alabama drivers?
And by the way, is that one statewide? Are you talking about, or are you talking about the one in Huntsville? That's strictly within the Huntsville city limits.
Statewide, according to this.
So, the bottom line is this is rife for, you know, for disaster here. So you've got, so when I'm driving down the road eating a hamburger, I can hold the hamburger in my hand. And is it going to be possible that through my tinted windows, the police officer thinks that I'm holding a phone in my hand? I don't know. If I get if I get lost and I have to real quickly pull up the map and give it, you know, the instructions to find my way out of where I am, am I going to get arrested for or pulled over and cited for having the phone in my hand at the time? Or for that matter, what if I just pick up my phone because I dropped it in the cup holder accidentally and I'm moving it to a different place? I don't know how they're going to possibly police this. This is a classic example. I saw stuff happen in Montgomery. Like we had, and then, you know, and I get it. We had one particular member of the legislature who loved to go biking and he almost got hit by a car. So somehow or another, he brought a bill and got it all the way to the floor of the Senate that basically said you cannot pass within 3 feet of a cyclist. And my question to him was, who's measuring the 3 feet? How do you enforce this? Does the state trooper have to come up and say, I saw you here, let me measure real quick, it's here? No, there's no way to enforce this. Well, we got to keep them away. And I said, but there's no way to enforce it. So what they've done is they've created a boondoggle opportunity for law enforcement. It's going to be nuts. It's going to be nuts.
Well, it's interesting in the article, they've got a quote from an officer, and I'm sure he means well, but kind of like, well, we could pull him over because what the article says is for secondary offense. So they got to have something. So if you're swerving because you're texting, they can think you're drinking and driving, if I understood this. And, you know, okay, it turns out you weren't drinking and driving and, you know, no harm, no foul. We at least brought it to your attention and that's a good thing. I don't know that, seems like there's good intent there, but,
it's got good intent. And I do believe that texting and driving is the cause of many accidents. I helped pass the law against texting and driving, but not even having it in your hand. The problem they're going to have is if you're holding a soft drink or a cup of coffee in your hand through the window, can they tell it wasn't your phone that was in your hand? And then everybody who puts their phone down real quick when the police officer pulls them over, all they have to do is say, no, sir, that was a hairbrush. I was doing my makeup while I was driving down the road. That's okay, apparently, but you can't hold your phone.
Well, I'm going to get a hairbrush and leave it in my car. Good one.
I miss the good old safe days of changing out CDs from 14 different CD wallets passed all over the car.
Yeah.
Them's was the safe days.
On the flip side of your sun visor, covering up everything that you own. That's right. All right, you guys, Butters and Lee, appreciate you both. We'll have you back on next week. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll see what happens with this verdict in the Trump trial. Be right back.